Becky. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 1 of the Beach Business Breakfast. We have Mel. How are you, Mel?
I'm great.
Excellent. That's good. Jeremy.
Hey, Dave. Good.
Yep, good. Great. So, yeah, we're back. Had a little bit of a break. We were sort of waiting for offers from Hollywood, but obviously they've got their email addresses wrong because nothing's come through. So we're in the office at Merriweather Surf Club, the function room where we usually at is booked today by a Beach Business Breakfast member, which is good. So
we like recording in a room closet.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a nice atmosphere. This could be the new normal. Yeah. So we can see in the background the surf. It's still nice in the water, but it's a bit cool. Anyway, that's right. We found that out this morning. The sand's a bit cold, but that's cool. So, Mel, thanks for joining us. And
great.
You're just starting out a new venture called Love Parenting, which we'll get to eventually. But you know, tell us a bit about the Mel story. About
where's Mel come from?
Yeah, where's Mel from?
The Mel's got a quandary.
Yep, okay.
Her identity, she doesn't know whether to wear R.M. Williams.
Okay.
She was born in Condoblin at Central New South Wales.
Yep.
So, yeah, I've got an 8.5 year cycle, I think.
Yep.
I was there 8.5, I was in Kempsey.
Yep.
8.5.
Yep.
And I was in Sydney 8.5. But I've tipped over more than 8.5.
Was that you like family not moving around? Or?
Yeah, just stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, just separating parents led us to go to Kempsey.
Yep, yep.
And then education took me to Sydney.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
What was the education? What was that?
Well, so I went from the roughest school in the state.
Yep.
Yeah, Melville High School.
Excellent.
Where I thought a whole heap of stuff was normal, and I found out afterwards that that's actually not.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So it's not until you meet other kids that grew up in other places that you go, all right, did that not happen?
Yeah.
Did that not happen at your school?
Yeah, you made the most of it.
Yeah, yeah, and it was good. And there was, you know, at the time it was great, but it probably has flavoured my choice of where I've gone on to from there.
Yeah.
Noticing how much, now that I know what I know, how useful connection is for families and,
that stability.
And so a lot more connection and stability would have made lots of those kids' lives easier.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So education, what was that?
So, of course, you come out of the roughest school in the state and you head off to Sydney, to North Sydney, to go to business college.
Okay.
Yeah. And next thing you're in pencil skirts and stockings and high heel shoes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did that, and then I worked on Pitt Street as a secretary for a little bit.
Okay. Yep.
And then a travel agent for American Express in the corporate leisure section.
Yeah.
But it was about sales, and that wasn't me. So I went and studied anthropology.
Okay, that's different.
As you do, yeah.
Yeah. So
I think I hang up my blazer and do anthropology. So I did that, and that took me into a master's that was about problem gambling in Sydney's Vietnamese community.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then that's been my link into multicultural liaison work, and then problem gambling counselling.
Oh, wow.
And then it's family work that came sideways at the same time as I was starting my family.
Yeah.
And so, I just got to see, I got to practice on my two kids.
Yeah,
some stuff I was learning.
It seemed like a lot of life. Like,
well, yeah,
a real mix of experiences that's giving you a kind of perspective on things.
And it means that I can fairly easily communicate back in Kempsey and in Pitt Street. I was okay too. And I waitressed all my way through here. So, I don't know.
So you're a good worker.
It means that
you're
a chameleon.
And lots of life experience. That's the thing. You didn't sort of, go to school, go to uni, become like a lawyer and accountant for 20 years.
True.
Even though in those roles, you do meet lots of sorts of people.
And somehow I clocked up 10 years in family work.
Yeah.
I just clocked up 10 years at the Family Action Centre.
So
that's at Newcastle Uni.
So what does the Family Action Centre do?
They have three different three different pockets of people. They have a research team, a frontline projects team, and then the teaching and learning team. And the concept is that they cross-pollinate, so that works nicely, that the frontliners come back and say, we've noticed themes you guys in the research team might be interested in, or the research team might say to the teaching team that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the model from there.
Okay.
Excellent.
And then, so you're now in Love Parenting.
I am.
Your business, tell us.
Itch is this scratching?
So I was in that job for 10 years, and just noticing, I guess it was the gap that I was noticing, and I was noticing it slowly, but towards the end it was coming harder and faster.
Yeah.
That whenever I ran a group of 12 people, there'd be two or three that would come in and be from a demographic that weren't, often weren't comfortable with seeking support for parenting because yeah. they identified it as that service would be for people who court has referred or
yeah.
Who are having problems, but they weren't actually, usually they weren't having problems, they were just trying really hard to get it right and yeah. threadbare from the trying.
Okay. So they're kind of typical, it's such a thing, typical parents, they're doing okay, you know, raising children, living life, but it's getting challenging.
Yeah.
But they're not challenged by lots of external factors that are typically like problematic for families, like gambling, drug use,
yeah.
housing,
yeah, that
stuff. Kind of stuff.
It's not so familiar to them.
Life's like okay, but they've got issues.
And my dilemma was that there would constantly be groups where I was having to cater to different sets of circumstances. So there'd be maybe three parents were there because their kids had been removed and the court had made it that they never mandate, apparently, but the parents feel like they're mandated. So they're there reluctantly, often. And then there was people who have big behaviour issues that they want sorted out. And then you'd have my three that, who were just hungry for, usually for more information,
yeah.
and not realising that more information is probably going to swamp them more than they're already swamped. So,
yeah.
So I thought, oh, geez. The burnout that I went to a program and was about burnout, the core vicarious trauma, and they were saying it's usually not clients that will leave, burn you out, it's the system you work in. And that was so true that I was like, oh, if I have to choose out of those three or four groups that I was constantly with, I'm going to go with the parents who are probably like me, trying to be super mum like I was in the early days, and I've learned through the 10 years that there's heaps that's
so you relate useful. To those people better.
Let me grab that group. If I have to grab a group, I can't cater in my own business everywhere. Let's go with that.
Yeah,
and then as soon as I decided that, I was like, all right, okay, now I just have to do stuff.
So you left there, the Family Action Centre?
I left there maybe. About 8 weeks ago.
Tell us about Love Parenting, what you do, what services you offer.
What's a day at Love Parenting?
My catch cry that I've learnt you need to have one, right, is that I create space for parents to slow down and reflect on what they want for their family, and then I gear them up to go out and create that.
Yeah.
So usually they want like something specific, or they generally want to be the household to be calmer, or for just to be able to enjoy it the way that when they were past the baby at the hospital, they thought, oh, like this is going to be this way, they've quite often had really great success in uni and then workplace, and that competence isn't what they're feeling in parenting, and they're not sure where they can access help with that because the services are sometimes geared for something different than that.
Yeah.
So that's
what a lot of parents put too much pressure on themselves too.
Oh, and you could
you think I've succeeded at other things, I should be succeeding at this.
Why can't I get someone to put their shoes on when I can manage like 18 staff?
Only 5 years into the parenting project.
It's true for everybody. So and I think there's a whole heap of stuff. We could blame parents for putting the pressure on themselves, but the pressure comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
And quite often my first point of call to work with them is to think about their values. So which are their values? And they'll tell you their values, but then once you tease it out, you're like, oh, really? Like, or is that your Facebook friends have those values and your mother-in-law has those values, so that you sometimes feel as though you're trying to please a heap of people.
Yeah.
But if you get down to just where you want to just please yourself and do what's right for your family, there's a heap less values to parent from, and then that's how you love parenting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's excellent. So what's the – so you're 8 weeks in.
Yeah.
So you said you're getting your website up and running.
Yes.
And getting some – how are you actually attracting clients? Like what's your plan there?
I've got a page of – brainstorm that I have started to put into place. Okay. I think people aren't going to see my flyer and go, I might just book into that. Mm. I think they need to hear me speak about what it is because it's so foreign to the group that I'm speaking to. I was at the Newcastle Business Club. Like, I've joined lots of stuff. I'm never home.
Become a networking guru.
You need to tell people about what you do.
And then get to know you and trust you, and that's how you want. And so I met someone at the Newcastle Business Club the other day who I was explaining what I do, and she said, "Is that a thing?" She goes, "Is that a thing, or is that like your thing?" And I said, "My thing, but it's within a bigger thing." And and she had never comprehended that parenting support exists, and so that's got me thinking. And I'm really thinking that it's awareness raising about it being something that you just. My husband said he's been explaining it at work as, well, you just take your car to the mechanic once a year and you just like have a tune-up. So and you take your body to the gym and you keep it well. So you just go and tune up how you're feeling about parenting with Mel, either when stuff gets tough or probably more ideally before it does, because you've got more headspace to hear it because you're too frustrated at your kids and yourself. In the thick of it.
Would they feel that they don't want to do it because it's almost like admitting defeat?
Yeah, because if you've done well at uni and in the workplace, you're not open to admitting failure. You just try harder at stuff. Yeah. And for those other areas of your life, you just read more and you just do more. Yeah. So, but with parenting, it's a different set of skills, and it's relationship skills and connection skills, which sometimes mean that you do less and that you listen differently and, and you tune in.
Yeah.
So, if you get into the doey-doey with parenting, you can really, you can make it hard for yourself. And, it's really hard also if mental health's not crash hot to be right on that. And balancing that as well, which is the case for lots. Statistically, that's the case for lots of people.
And so you practice on your family.
They're very kind. my kids give me my family. Like people say, "Oh, you must have such a perfect family." I don't know. Yeah. That would make me unreachable.
Yeah, you can recognise what they're
doing. And my whole thing is that there is no perfect. So I've learned from my first few years of parenting, anxiety and depression were like a feature. So I just lived across the road here and I could come back here and go, "Oh my goodness, happier these days." But it was big. So the being more organised now with this stuff helps just keep things rolling and it's just really important for parents to know that taking care of themselves is a key part of it.
Well, I suppose you can connect parents with other parents as well.
Yeah, and Newcastle's great for that. Mm. Yeah, so I'm thinking along those lines as well. Some events, people. We've got to be careful because often people are still holding so tightly to that stigma that they don't want to run into people they know. But they can see me through a Skype appointment while their child sleeps through the day, or once they're in bed at night, they can see me in Lambton in my studio office.
Yeah.
Or I do walking appointments. Mm. So if they've got a child in a pram that they can't get childcare for, or they're baby carrying, or they've got a bigger one on a scooter that goes ahead, then we can talk about Lambton Park.
Yeah, like that's good.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? People are really responding well.
Taking your auntie around or something out for a walk and getting something.
Because auntie's going to be more judgmental, possibly.
Maybe. Probably your boss qualified. So
and aunties, there's good things about aunties and friends and family, but sometimes they have trouble distancing out of the emotion of what they think you should do. Yeah. And it's hard for them to listen.
And they probably forget that they're a neighbour, their kids' neighbour, and it's only perfect
either. Yeah, you're playing the role like the impartial observer.
Yeah.
Not judging.
Yeah, not my job to judge. Because, and I was going to say, my family, they, like in the 10 years of working there, I've noticed that we get off, like the wheels stay on the tar a number of the time, but when the wheels go off the tar, instead of there being kid tantrums and parent tantrums, we get on back on a bit quicker.
Yeah.
From from what we know and what we have learned should be our expectations, yeah. because it's the unrealistic expectations
yeah.
of ourselves, our kids and our partners
yeah.
that unravel us.
Good. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's all the time for unfortunately, because it goes so quick. So, yeah, well, that's great. Mel's a member of our Beach Business Breakfast Network, which is great, so she'll meet hopefully lots of people you can get referrals from.
Look forward to seeing you succeed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've got a vision for Newcastle that there's just less stress in parents going out, say at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
There's just a whole heap of less stressed parents going out into the workplace,
yeah,
who I also support through business wellbeing program.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a more effective workforce, family force. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Mm. Well, thanks for joining us, Mel. You look fantastic in the white
Thank
shirt
you.
And the beads. So that's cool. So, Beach Business Breakfast on every third Thursday at Merriman Surf Club, 7:30 till 8:30 or 9 o'clock, depending on how long we go for. And it's a great opportunity to come along and meet great business people like Mel and us.
People following their dream, work hard. Do that
again. Exactly.
Yeah.
In a great environment. So, okay, thanks, and see you later on.
Thank you.